The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, I just wanted to let you know there is not going to be a show on Friday because I will be heading on a little vacation to Colorado to spend the rest of the week a mile high, both literally and figuratively. But I also get to go see Taylor Swift as well on Friday, so I'm fucking ecstatic about that shit. So there will not be a show on Friday. So I will be back, though, for next Monday's show. So just be aware of that. But let's get started with a little story of both of my worlds colliding. You know, I'm a rapper, so I love music, but I also love sports as well. So this weekend, my two worlds collided a little bit, if you will. So if you do not know, I love Britney Spears. It's not even a joke. Like, I love Britney Spears. I've gone to see her 13 times. I actually went to her Las Vegas show 8 times. So that is how much of an insane Britney Spears nut job I am. So there was a story about her this weekend. She ran into Victor Wembanyama in Las Vegas. And she went to go try and get a picture with him. And she tapped him on the shoulder. And one of the security guards slapped her hand away and hit her in the face. And so it kind of turned into a big thing. And I didn't really talk about it on Friday's show because I wanted to see how things played out. But all I got to say is don't be slapping my girl Britney Spears. First of all, I thought it was hilarious before the video even came out when Wembanyama was like, she grabbed my shoulder. I'm like, dude, you're like 7 feet tall and she's like 5 foot two. That story's a joke right there. But I mean, the video footage did show that basically it was pretty inadvertent where the security guard kind of like swatted her hand away and it hit her right in her own face, which was kind of funny. But at the same time, don't touch my girl Britney Spears, because if I were there, you'd be hearing a story about the insane Britney Spears fan nut job attacking the San Antonio Spurs security. So that's what you would have been hearing if I were there. Because that's how much of an insane nut job I am for Britney Spears. You don't touch my girl like that. Just because she's got a single, Hit Me Baby One More Time, she didn't mean take that literally, okay? So San Antonio Spurs security, keep your hands to yourself, motherfuckers. Anyways, just had to put that in there because, you know, like I said, my two worlds colliding, my girl Britney colliding. Come on, I had to throw it in there. But anyways, speaking of hits, UFC 290 was one of the best nights of UFC fights, hands down. I mean, basically every fucking fight from early preliminaries to the main events were insane. I mean, this was one of the best UFC nights in so long. I mean, sometimes, and this happens a lot, sometimes there'll be a UFC night where it's just like, meh, some of the fights are just, meh, okay, we'll have like a knockout here and there. And then there's ones like what we got on Saturday night. And I mean, not only did we get knockouts, but we got knockouts in like 17 seconds, in 20 seconds. It was just fucking fantastic to watch. We, in the early prelims, we had Vitor Petrino submit his opponent in round 3. Then we had Cameron Simon had a technical knockout in round 1. Probably one of my favorite knockouts for sure. There were 2 knockouts that were just... Actually, no, there were 3 knockouts that were just like, oh, holy shit knockouts. And one of them was Jesus Aguiar in the early preliminaries. Had a knockout in round 1 in the first 17 seconds. I mean, he just straight up knocked the dude out, went cold and limp, and was out for a minute too. So that was great to see. And then Jimmy Crute, he had a submission in round two. And then moving on to the preliminary rounds, my other favorite knockout of the night came from Denise Gomes. She took it to Jaggery, who is an excellent female fighter, by the way. But Denise Gomes comes right out and knocks her out in 20 seconds. And it was a hilarious, it was a crazy freaking knockout too. Like, she's just boom, 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 boom. Just will not stop. I mean, she was like the Tasmanian devil right at the gate. Just boom, boom, hitting Jaggery just every punch. And it was done in 20 freaking seconds. And then to end the preliminaries, we had Robbie Lawler, who is, he's a 20-year vet. This dude has been doing it since 2002, and this was his last fight of his career, because, when you're in the game for 20 years, your last couple of years aren't going to be that great, and his last couple of fights have not been that great, so he decided that this is going to be his last fight. We all knew it was going to be his last fight. You could tell he was very emotional, like, walking out to the music. He was emotional walking into the ring for the last time. Even his opponent was cool with him running around the ring for one last time just to say peace out to the crowd. And then the bell rings and he knocks his opponent out in 38 seconds. To go out like that it's probably almost as good as winning the championship or a belt, but wow, that it was just so awesome to see him just come right out, and you could tell he was ready to go. And I was kind of hoping, I was like, I hope this moment isn't too emotional for him. And he answered that question in literally 38 seconds with the knockout. And then in the main event, we had Bo Nickel knock a motherfucker out in 38 seconds. Then Dricus du Plessis, he had a knockout in round two. And then, of course, in the main event, Volkanovski had a technical knockout in round three. So pretty much every single fight we had that night was a knockout or a submission, except for, I believe, like three. So it was just one of the most amazing nights of UFC you will have watched. And I hope you watched it if you're a fan, because it was awesome just to see those quick knockouts. Whew, God, I love that shit. All right, now let's move on to the NBA. They had a little bit of news over the weekend. They've announced that during the regular season, from the dates of November 3rd to December 9th, they are going to begin an NBA in-season tournament. They've set up all the divisions and weird brackets and all this kind of shit. And I gotta say, what the fuck is this gimmicky bullshit? I mean, I get it. The NBA usually doesn't really kick off till December. And usually Christmas is about when everybody starts paying attention to the NBA. So I understand what they're doing. They're trying to get interest at the beginning of the season because, hey, they do have to compete against football. And, if you're competing against football, you're losing every single time. And so that's one of the problems. But it's just, it's so gimmicky. It's so stupid. They're going to like win a trophy and all this bullshit. And I'm just like, okay, I get you're trying to garner the interest. But as I was reading through the article, first of all, it was very confused because it's just very convoluted. And I was just trying to figure out why the hell we need this stupid shit. But we're going to get it at least for the coming season. So be prepared for this riveting NBA in-season tournament we're going to get from November 3rd to December 9th. Who knows? It could turn out to be fun, but I don't get it. I don't see why it needs to happen, but it's happening. So there you go. All right, so let's move on to baseball and the Top 10 MLB Power Rankings. We are officially at the halfway point of the season because it is the All-Star break. We have the Home Run Derby tonight. Like I said in a previous episode, I am taking Randy Arozarena to win it all. But let's get into the Top 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. At the bottom, we do have a couple of new teams in there. Well, not new teams, but they haven't been in the Top 10 for a minute. But then at the top, we still basically have the same teams. So let's kick it off with the number one team, of course, still the Atlanta Braves, the first team to hit 60 wins on the season. Their record right now is 60-29. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Cleveland Guardians and the Tampa Bay Rays. And really just this team is so stacked. They're so damn good. Ronald Acuña Jr. having an MVP season. Currently batting a .331, 21 home runs, 55 RBI. And then their standout pitcher has obviously been Spencer Strider with 11 wins, 3.44 ERA, and 166 strikeouts, which still leads the league by about, I believe, 10 or 11 at this point. So the guy is just killing it. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Tampa Bay Rays, overall record of 58-35. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games, and they have been playing awful this last week. It was actually hard for me to keep them at number two, but I just don't feel like they should drop down too far yet. But who knows? They may be hitting a slump here. They have hit a slump, but who knows? We'll see if they're able to pull out of it. Like I said, it's really difficult when your top dog, Shane McClanahan's on the injured list, who still leads the league in wins right now with 11. So you're missing that guy there. But they are slumping right now. And this past week, they took the series against the Philadelphia Phillies, but got demolished by the Atlanta Braves. But their season's really been carried not only by McClanahan at the pitching position, but Randy Arozarena has just had a hell of a season, batting .279 with 16 home runs and 58 RBI. So we'll see if the Rays are just slumping for the time being, or if they're going to start to fall off. And they have to hold on to that lead, because right now their division is still stacked. It's still very competitive, and you don't want to start losing that lead that they've built up throughout the first half of the season. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Cincinnati Reds. Overall record of 50-41. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the Washington Nationals, but lost the series to the Milwaukee Brewers. But this team is just getting it from all angles. And Ellie De La Cruz, their rookie sensation, he still is just doing things we have never seen before. The guy in one game over the weekend stole second base, third base, and home plate, all in the same game. That's the first time that's ever happened by a rookie, by the way. He's just provided them this insane spark, which is so weird because the Reds were just, when the season began, were one of the worst teams in the league. And to have this kind of turnaround, I mean, yeah, I know the guy is a game-changing player who they had high expectations for, but the Reds, they went from nothing to now the top of their division, and they are looking really good, and that's why they're at number three this week, because they look for real, and De La Cruz is the truth. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that kind of disappeared but now is starting to surge again, that would be the Milwaukee Brewers. An overall record right now of 49-42, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. Right now, Christian Yelich is just having a huge resurgence. The last, now like 2 months, the guy has been on fire. Right now, he's batting a .284 with 11 home runs and 46 RBI. And then their top dog at the pitching position right now is Corbin Burnes, who's got 7 wins with a .394 ERA and 102 strikeouts. So the Brewers are starting to get hot right now. And we'll see if they're able to maintain that. They've been very streaky this season. Started off the season real hot, and then they slumped real bad, and now here they come back. So who knows? Maybe next month they'll be back down at the bottom. But right now they are at number four. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 51-38. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week they took the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Los Angeles Angels. And, you know, this season, even though Kershaw is currently on the injured list, the guy has been having an amazing season. I'm really actually comparing it to what Verlander did last year with the Houston Astros. He had a Cy Young season, and, you know, he was the old guy. He was coming off of the surgeries, and Kershaw's basically the same thing. Now, he's not coming off of a bunch of surgeries, but, you know, it was questionable on whether or not Kershaw was even going to be pitching with the Dodgers this year. You know, he was a free agent, and they did end up keeping him, but we were really not expecting this type of season from him, and so far on the season, he's got 10 wins with a .255 ERA and 105 strikeouts, which is one of the tops in the league for strikeouts, so he still has that power, and he's still just pitching at a very high level, and even though he's on the injured list right now, it's not going to be for that long, And when he comes back, I expect him to come back strong. And then, of course, Freddie Freeman has just been having an MVP season as well. You know, I think it's kind of getting overshadowed because, you know, Acuña is having the season. Plus, the Braves are the top team in the National League, or top team in the league. But Freeman's been having an amazing season as well, batting a .320 with 17 home runs and 61 RBI. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 48-41. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Tampa Bay Rays, but lost the series to the Miami Marlins. Their season's really been, it's been up and down as well, but they seem to be looking pretty solid right now. Aaron Nola is of course, the top pitcher for them right now. He's got 8 wins on the season with a 4.39 ERA and 120 strikeouts. He actually started off the season pretty cold, but he seems to have got back to his old ways. And then their top hitter has pretty much been Nick Castellanos all season. If you'll remember, he signed the big contract with them last year, and he kind of had he started off the season pretty cold, but then got hot as the season wore on, and then of course was pretty solid during the playoffs. But this year, he's been extremely consistent, and he's been their top hitter. He's batting a .301 with 13 home runs and 55 RBI. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 52-39. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games, so they have they're slumping right now. Last week, they lost the series to the Mets, but took the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Right now, their top dog at pitcher has been Zach Gallen. Of course, you know, he's been having a Cy Young season with 11 wins, a 3.04 ERA, and 125 strikeouts. And then their rookie sensation is having an amazing season as well. Corbin Carroll batting a .289 with 18 home runs and 48 RBI on the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Baltimore Orioles. The overall record of 54-35. And you know, they fell off last week, but now they're 6-4 in their last 10 games, so they're starting to get it going again. This past week, they split a series against the the New York Yankees and then swept the Minnesota Twins. So they seem to have got back on track from that little slump that they had. And hell, who knows? This team could take over the top spot if the Rays keep on falling. And you know, their top pitcher right now has been Tyler Wells. He's got 7 wins with a 3.18 ERA and 103 strikeouts. And then Anthony Santander has been their top hitter with 272 batting average, 16 home runs, and 50 RBI. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 50-41. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Chicago White Sox and the Detroit Tigers. And this team's been very streaky as well. You know, they're in a tough division, but they are back on the upside of things right now, and they are getting a shit ton of offense, most certainly from Bo Bichette, who has been having a career year, batting a .317 with 15 home runs and 52 RBI. And then, of course, you got the amazing Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's batting a .274 with 13 home runs and 58 RBI. And then rounding out the top 10 this week, I have the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 45-45. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Atlanta Braves, but won the series against the Kansas City Royals. They're getting a lot of offensive firepower from Jose Ramirez, who's batting a .289 with 14 home runs and 53 RBI. And then, of course, Josh Naylor is also having a career year, batting a .305 with 11 home runs and 64 RBI. He's had a few game winners as well. The guy's been money this year. And then, of course, you have Emmanuel Clase, who's been one of the most consistent closers in the game. He's at the top of the league right now. He was leading for a while, but now it's him and a couple other guys are within like a game or two of each other. But he is tops in the league right now with 25 saves on the season. And so since we are at the halfway point of the season, let's see where we're at with all of the divisions and who the division leaders are and who's creeping up behind them. So right now, in the AL East, the Tampa Bay Rays still maintain their lead, but only a 2-game lead currently over the Baltimore Orioles. So like I said, the Orioles have been very consistent this season. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to sneak in and actually win the division because, you know, this division is, while it seems like it's up for grabs, like I said, the Orioles most consistent. The Rays have been slumping the last like 3-ish weeks, especially since the McClanahan injury. Then you've got the Yankees, who are battling through injuries, but they just aren't playing that great of baseball right now either. And then you got the Boston Red Sox, who I think are good for some upset wins, but I don't think they're going to be a team that is in the mix. But definitely would not be surprised if the Baltimore Orioles were able to sneak in and win this division, because they've been very, very consistent all season long, whereas everybody else in their division is very shaky, very up and down, very streaky. Now, the Rays, they really are. They've got a deep roster at every position. I mean, it sucks that McClanahan's injured, but they still have solid starting pitching right behind him. But they are having some issues lately with the bullpen. So we'll see what happens with them, if they're able to maintain this lead, or if another team, particularly Baltimore, is able to sneak in and get the division win. Then in the AL Central right now, the Cleveland Guardians have the lead, but only a half game lead over the Minnesota Twins. The Twins have pretty much held down the division for the first half. But the Cleveland Guardians have always been known to be a second team, especially with Tito as their manager. They've always been known to make second half runs, and especially, you know, be that team that makes, that gets, sneaks into the playoffs, and then all of a sudden there they are in the World Series, or there they are in the ALCS. You know, they're a very reliable team because they're a very well coached team. But the Twins, very streaky, not a very good team. But the Central is, it's not a good division either. So I just kind of feel like the Guardians are going to make a second half run, and they're going to maintain the hold on that division. And then in the AL West, the Texas Rangers, you'll notice they were not in my top 10 this week. This is the first time in quite some time that they have not been in my top 10, because they are having a very, very bad month. And it's just been horrible for them. No offense. The pitching's been awful. It's just been not good at all for them. And right now, they only hold a two-game lead over the Houston Astros. And I feel like this division's going to be back and forth between them and the Astros. Right now, the Rangers are not looking good. And we'll see if that's going to last for the rest of the season, or if it's just kind of a cold spot in their season. Then moving on to the NL East, right now the Braves, of course, have that division on lockdown. They currently have an 8.5 game lead over the Miami Marlins, and you know, I've pretty much picked the Braves. I picked them to go to the World Series at the beginning of the season, so you know, I can't really, I'm not shocked at all by what they're doing. They have the deepest roster in the league. They suffer an injury. Of course, injuries always suck, but if they suffer an injury, they're good, because they have so many guys taking care of business right now. And they just keep getting better as the season rolls on, and I don't really see anybody in that division even coming close. Then in the NL Central right now, the Reds have a one-game lead over the Milwaukee Brewers, and I feel like both Central divisions, AL and NL, are both up for grabs. I feel like any team could take any one of those divisions, and while the Reds look good right now, the Brewers are surging right now. The White Sox, they could always make, I'm sorry, not the White Sox. The White Sox are in the AL Central. The Cardinals, that's who I meant. The Cardinals could always make a run, even though they are playing terrible baseball to start the season off. Who knows? They could make a second half run, and all of a sudden, they're going to take this division. So the NL Central, in my opinion, is probably the division up for the up for grabs by really any team in that division. Because, you know, the Pirates, they started off the season as the best team in the league, and they were dominating this division. And then all of a sudden, the tides turned. The Brewers made their little run, and then they had the lead in the division. And then now the Reds, they've been playing the way they are. So, you know, I kind of feel like it's only a matter of time until we hear about the Cardinals making their run for this division. And then, of course, the Cubs, you know, they've been up and down this season. I don't really take them much seriously, but I mean, this, they could win this division. Any one of these teams could win this division, and I feel like it's up for grabs, but I'm going to keep it real. Would not be surprised to see the Cardinals win it. Would not be surprised. And then finally, the National League West. Right now, the Los Angeles Dodgers have the lead. But this has been a very close battle between them and the Diamondbacks. So close that they don't even have a game or a half game lead. They lead by literally percentage points at this point in time. So both of these teams, you know, they've had their moments. Arizona's actually been way more consistent than the Dodgers. So I actually am leaning towards Arizona holding on to the division lead. You know, they don't have it right now, but they've pretty much had it all season long. And I just think they're in a down slump right now. And the Dodgers, they haven't been consistent at all. Other than Freddie Freeman and Clayton Kershaw, this team has been in complete disarray. And then, of course, you've got the Padres who knows what the fuck they are. So I can't believe in them. And then, of course, the Giants, they're not good at all. They need to make some type of move at the trade deadline, which I doubt they're going to do. But that's pretty much the only thing. They need a miracle, basically. They need some really outside of the box trade to make some type of run, but I don't really see it happening. I actually do think the Diamondbacks are for real, and I do think at the end of the season, the Diamondbacks will be the National League West champions. So we'll see how that goes. You know, it is the second half of the season, and what's so great about how long the baseball season is it ebbs and flows. As you'll notice with my top 10, it changes all the time, and we always have these very streaky teams, and you know you'll have the Rays be dominating pretty much all the way up until last month, and then they start slumping, and then you know we suffer injuries, and then you've got rookie phenoms like De La Cruz, who just comes out of nowhere and just turns an entire season around for the Reds. And then you have streaky teams like the Brewers in there and the Phillies, who are also a streaky team. And then you have random teams like the Diamondbacks and the Orioles thrown in there. So it's been a crazy first half of the baseball season. And then, of course, you've got Shohei Ohtani, who still leads the league in home runs right now. So he's having his phenomenal season with being a beast at pitching and hitting. So, you know, like I said, he's not the only unicorn in the league right now. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz is just... It's just amazing to see what he's doing. And then you've also got Randy Arozarena and Ronald Acuna Jr., who are just having phenomenal seasons. And then you got Spencer Strider, who's just dominating with strikeouts right now. And you got McClanahan, who's been having a great year. It's just been a really, really solid baseball season. So it's going to be interesting to see how things shape up for the second half of the season. We will find out. Midweek, I believe games start back up Thursday or Friday. But regardless, it's the All-Star break right now. Home Run Derby is tonight. All-Star game is tomorrow. And like I said, I will be in Colorado for the rest of the week, jamming out to Taylor Swift, acting like a little crazy bitch, dancing around to all my favorite songs, and smoking a whole lot of goddamn weed. So remember, there will be no show on Friday. But I will talk to you fools next Monday.